Motivation on this side of the universe, where we provide you with nothing but 100% WTF and OMGs, inspiration for that mind. Now we're having a good time this evening. I'm accompanied by none other than my wonderful co-host, Bouye Villa.
Yo, what's going on?
Now, we have a lot going on this week. It's been a very, very hectic week. For all you people out there who have been going hard on your grind and been doing what you said you were going to do for the new year, more power to you. I have backslidden, or I've been backsliding on my diet for the past couple of days, and I've been extremely fatigued. But nonetheless, the show must go on, and I do have to represent for my people, so I just want you guys to pray for me and make sure that I go hard, because I really, really need to stop eating so much. Why am I so hungry?
I mean, I think it's just good food out there. That's all that is, you know. You got a healthy appetite. Nothing wrong with that.
That's just coming from the big man who doesn't turn down a meal.
You know what? Ain't no wrong with a nice, thick, voluptuous woman. Nothing wrong with it.
I guess so, but I was talking about food.
You know,
Anyway, we have a very great show for you guys. We're going to have Ryan Capital on, author of Bigger Than Me, an untold story of sex and love addiction, to talk to us about some of the things that's going on with his book, with his book tour, also with his upcoming projects, and how he got through sex and love addiction, and some helpful tips for those individuals who are currently going through that. Also, I just wanted to keep in mind that I'm still taking picture submissions for those fashion trends and those fashionistas and stylist gurus out there. If you are a guy or girl who is very interested in promoting your stylish and unique self, then go ahead and submit your photos to gap2diva@hotmail.com. We are taking pictures from any age, any demographic, any style, not anything in particular. You have preppy, goth, hip-hop, country, urban, people who love to wear denim. I mean, whatever your style is, from Nordstrom to the thrift store, you rocking something that you feel is work of art on your body, go ahead and take your photos and submit them to gap2diva@hotmail.com. We're going to start posting pictures of real soul for those people who are trendsetters in their area. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the Cap City. It could be all over the country. So go ahead and email me. That's gaptotothadiva@hotmail.com and put Gap 2 Diva Fashion Pick in the subject line. We'll go ahead and post your picture on the website and tell the world a little bit about yourself. We're always interested in promoting unique and creative style. So, guys, go ahead and set the cookies up. Send those photos in as soon as possible, because we're taking submissions right now. And we're also currently taking submissions for more interesting guests to get on the show. You can also email the same email address, gap2diva@hotmail.com. We have some events coming up. We're so excited about attending the MLK Signature Black and White Affair going down at Pars on January 15, 2011, at 1713 East Main Street in Richmond, Virginia. This is brought to you by D&W Entertainment, Natasha B. 1980, S4 Digital Media, Higher IQ Foundation, which is a youth mentoring program here in Richmond, and also RichmondSpotlight.com. Again, it's at the Par, 1713 East Main Street. It's hosted by Kells of 105.7 Kiss FM. Doors open at 9 p.m. Cold check is available, and tickets are on sale now for $10 in advance. It's going to go up at the door, so make sure you get those tickets early. It's going to be a VIP and bottle service. And you can email for more information at dwemg1@gmail.com. That's dwemg1@gmail.com. Music is by Danger Mouse also. That's DW Entertainment and Higher IQ 3 bringing you the MLK Signature Black and White Affair. Be there. Gap 2 Diva will be broadcasting live from that event. And also for the ladies, if you are interested in being a unique trendsetter at this party, I do suggest you avoid the doppelgangers or those lookalikes who are going to be out there getting the same outfit as you and spruce up that outfit with some jewelry and accessories from NatashaB1980.com. She has a signature section on her website specifically for the Black and White Affair going down at Posh. So if you want to get some Black and White accessories, which most likely is like silver, onyx, stuff like that, those crystals and rhinestones, go ahead and go to NatashaB1980.com. Brand is on the show not too long ago. Wonderful personality and also a wonderful business. Go ahead and support her and get some jewelry so you could be fly at the MLK Signature Party. Also, I want to promote the Main Street Spa and Wellness Center at 504 East Main Street, Suite A, Richmond, Virginia, 23219. They are really doing their thing in the Cap City, representing for the beauty and health and wellness industry. And for all you people who want to dedicate your money and support Black businesses, I really think this is a business that you should participate in. Not only do they offer $10 off on any spa service, $75 or more with special coupons, you should call and schedule an appointment as soon as possible. They also offer colon hydrotherapy, or also known as colonics. People like to think that, you know, going to the spa or health and wellness center is a luxury thing, but it's really not. It's something that you need to take care of your body. A lot of people aren't going to the doctors as frequently as they should, and, you know, going to a health and wellness center is very, very similar. They also offer products by Carol's Daughter, and they have, you know, vitamins there. I mean, speak with Janice Barnes. She's the owner. She is a health and wellness guru in the Cap City. If you don't know, now you know. I really suggest that you go down there and represent. It's 504 East Main Street again. Also, they have an event coming up that we all should take the time out to participate in. If you can't go to the event, I do suggest that you get some information about this. It's called Exposure Voices. It's going down Saturday, January 15th at 10 a.m., the same day as the Black and White Fair. So if you're looking to be busy all day long, I really suggest go ahead and get this in. The Exposure Campaign is about modern-day slavery, also known as human trafficking. A lot of people don't get a lot of information about this, and this is very important, and it does exists here in Richmond. It exists all over the country, all over the world. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world, the fastest growing also. And victims of human trafficking are forced into labor of sexual exploitation. And it's not only occurs in foreign countries, it's also occurring in communities here in America. So I really think you should know what's happening in your own backyard. They have this free event, but you do have to register, and I would suggest that you go to the website for the Main Street Spa, and I will give you that in a moment. It's www.mainstreetspa.com. That's what it is, www.mainstreetspa.com. You can register for this event from their website, and also you can look at their services and the programs that they're offering as well, massages, facials, body wraps, weight loss body wraps, waxing, body polishing, nail care, like I said, colon hydrotherapy treatment, blood type diet consultations, and nutritional products. Go ahead and check them out, www.mainstreetspa.com, or go ahead and take yourself down to 501 East Main Street as soon as possible. And we will be at that event as well, covering it, the Taking a Stand Exposure event going down. It's the address is at Mount Gilead Full Gospel International Ministries, which is at 2501 Mount Gilead Boulevard in Richmond, Virginia, 23235. Or you can call 675-7600 for more information. Are you excited about today's show?
I am very excited, man. I'm very interested in what my man have to say, because you don't hear about these situations all the time. You know about them, but you really don't get to speak to the individual that actually went through it. So I'm very curious of what he has to say.
Well, what is your background with sex addiction? Like, do you know anybody with sex addiction?
I don't know anybody with sex addiction. And to tell you the truth, I'm kind of, like I said, I'm very curious to what he has to say, so I can identify some of the people that may be on the verge or already are that person.
What about people with love addiction?
Oh, that's tough, because, I mean, I know a lot of people that love hard. I mean, I love some people who don't really love at all, so it's kind of hard to really judge.
Well, let's go ahead and get him on the line. Shout out to my Kita guest. He had a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday from the guys who did it. And if you guys didn't know, and we're not going to make a big deal about it until 50 more episodes from now, but this is Gaps with Diva Radio's 50th episode. So congratulations to us, but keep going strong. Thank you guys for all your support. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for understanding that we are all about creativity, individuality, nonconformity, and most of all, inspiration and motivation. So we really appreciate you. And I guess happy 50th episode, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and get Ryan Capital on the line and find out about his book, which is titled Bigger Than Me, An Untold Story of Sex and Love Addiction. And it's also available, I don't know what's going on, it's probably because I'm hungry. It's also available on Amazon.com, and I would suggest you all get that. If you want more information, you can also click on the link from the radio website's page and go straight to Amazon.com to purchase the book, which is also a cool addition that we added on to it. So if you're listening to the page from blogtalkradio.com, Fresh Gaps with Diva Radio, if you click on the book icon, you will go straight to Amazon.com in order to purchase the book and get more information. But let's get him on the line and see what he has to say.
Voicemail box of 515-865-18.
That was his number, right?
Yeah.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to try this again. If we can, we're just going to go ahead and go into some music and see what happens. Because I'm not going to get upset. Things happen.
Reach the Sprint voicemail box of 515.
No. Well, let's go ahead and figure out how we can get in touch with him. But in the meantime, I want you to listen to this track from Black Liquid, who was on Tuesday. He sent us his album, The Future, and it was on fire. So I really want you guys to listen to a little bit more of his music. So I'm going to go ahead and say Black Liquid, and this track is called 100.
Another one of them nights. Yo, I wrote a track tonight, but it wasn't enough. And to roll another L, I would have to get up. Out of my scene, I'm walking away from this beat. It's midnight, the 40 in the fridge calling me. I'm tempted, but I feel as if there's more to do. So I called this dude and told him, listen, how they do. Instrumentals for my mind, cause I'm trying to record to the night, and I need a couple fixes. Addicted, rubbing to the life of Black Liquid. But they make money, but rhymes make living. And nights get late, but it makes no difference. Cause nigga, I don't care if I write it, I spit it. And nigga, I give the same way that I live it. Holistic state of mind, signed, sealed, I delivered. And once I finish the same way it's on again. This is track 89, I'ma do 100. Maybe pull out the calendars. And I was like, and 3 of you. And we're almost there. This is my niggas.
I started this around January 15th. It's all built to plan, no redundant 5 weeks.
do. Got a baby due around the same time. September 7, 2008, the finish line. What started out sublime is a voice in my head. A word that I wrote, now rhymes that I said. They ask me all the time how I do and how I write. I simply wait for empty space and shattered little lights. And it's on, I rhyme to and flow, malt liquor. Lyrics sun glowing, same way I write a rhyme. Katie paints the picture, this is art, this is life. And what I've lived for the last 87 nights. The price, taking out for pain, but the lesson is learning how to manage stress and maintain that effort. The story it gets told, same way that it's lived. Track 89, I'ma do 100. So Major Harris, he's like, it's great. I know you can do it. And you want to love. You got it.
My nigga Lewis said, I'ma save hip-hop. I'm like a green light, nigga, lick, don't stop.
For the love.
I drink 3 times for the rhyme. Press pause to refine, won't rewind at a time.
Yeah.
My niggas can't wait. They asking us to say, what's the new release date? You stacking all the tracks, man, what you got to say? It feels good to know I can drop any day.
Yeah.
I got track after track. 38 more from about a year back. So when it's all done and all over with, it really won't matter what the next man did. Cause this is what I do, put foot inside a shoe. With nothing more to prove and a dream to pursue. Started out with one, ended up doing two. Track 89, I'ma do 100.
And I can't wait. Then we're gonna finish that 100. See, we got a 40 bucks a day. Been talking malt liquor all day. And just celebrate.
Okay, so that was Black Liquid with 100. We found out what the malfunction was, and I just want you all to know that Booyahvilla sometimes is an idiot. So instead,
that's
what we're going to do.
Look, everybody, I take the responsibility. I put the number in wrong, but never will I let somebody call me an idiot.
You are an idiot.
It's never that deep.
It was that deep.
But, you know what, fans, I apologize for the inconvenience, but we're going to get into this show. We're going to go ahead and get it in like we're ready to win.
Get it in like we're ready to win?
Get it in like we're ready to win.
This is Ryan.
Hello, can we see Ryan Capital?
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome to the Gap to Diva Radio Show. We appreciate you for being here. Hello?
Cool. Yep, I'm still here.
Okay. I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners and let them know who you are and why you wrote the book Bigger Than Me, An Untold Story of Sex and Love Addiction.
Okay, well, like the title suggests, well, I'm Ryan Capital, obviously, and the reason I wrote the book was actually, was originally just a journal about my recovery, and basically about my past. The reason that, it's really a book about the reasons why I went through and ended up becoming addicted to sex and pornography and all this other stuff. It's the first years of my life, basically going from kindergarten all the way up through high school. And the events that took place in my life that ultimately caused me to humiliate myself through pornography, through all sorts of stuff. Really, the book kind of says it all. It doesn't leave anything out. I did that with the intention that other people, like myself, would be willing to share the truth, to go find help, and not necessarily have to come out all the way with their story, but to at least acknowledge that they might have a problem with sex or love in a negative way, and learn from that, and not be afraid to seek counsel, because there's a lot of people out there that are sick. I hear lately there's over about 50 million people with this disease, but only 16 million of these people actually admit to having the problem.
Okay, now what I want to know is, how does one define sex and love addiction, and how do you determine when it's become a problem? Because, you know, we live in a day and age where a lot of people like to have sex, and, you know, love and relationships are very common. But how do you determine whether or not this is an addiction and this is an issue?
Well, there are several key factors. A lot of them you'll have to kind of discern for yourself. It's a very secretive problem. Most people won't even admit to having it, but yet they'll spend hours on end searching the internet for it. They'll have failed relationships one after another. Ultimately, they'll have one-night stands on a continual basis because they don't feel that that person's perfect enough or that they're not perfect enough. Ultimately, there's a wide variety of sex and love addictions. There's even, love addiction in it of itself is basically looking for that perfect person, you know, and constantly being in and out of relationships. Sex addiction is more of basically an impulse to constantly have sex, even if you don't want it. Basically, it becomes just like wanting to breathe air. It becomes a second nature, and you can't get enough of it, even if you don't want it. It gets to the point where you start hurting yourself because of it.
Wow. Now, you had mentioned that this has been an issue for you since kindergarten. Now,
yes.
How did you determine that early you had a problem with sex addiction?
Well, one of the things that my book is about is how it all starts. And really, it doesn't just turn on and off like a light switch. I mean, it's not something that it's not like a normal person would go out and say, I can have sex with that person right there, and then not have sex for another year. The idea behind it is that it starts early on in the childhood, usually through either neglect, abuse, either sexual or physical or mental. In my case, it was mental, and a little bit of physical. My brother, when I was about 5 years old, actually sexually molested me. That's how that part started. But then also, my cousins, who were physically and sexually abused by their father, would actually turn around and show me the things that they did that he did to them, and it became kind of a commonplace thing over childhood, growing up and going through school and finding out that, hey, I'm not normal.
Wow.
But I mean, it's just a huge story. That's hence the title, Bigger Than Me. I mean, this disease is huge. The porn industry makes over almost seven times what the Silicon Valley industry actually made last year alone. That was just in pure profit. And not to say that pornography and that sort of thing is bad, but excessive amounts of it do tend to kind of lean that way. There's a lot of people out there that I've talked to that I go to meetings for recovery, just like Alcoholics Anonymous. They do have Addicts Anonymous for sex addicts and love addicts. And
okay.
And it's basically set up the same way, 12-step program. basically the people of from Alcoholics Anonymous said, "Hey, we got a problem here. Let's go ahead and adapt this program to fit our needs." And so that's where that came from. And they're really good programs where you can openly talk about things that you normally wouldn't talk to normal people about. And most of the people can understand because they've been through it, or they've heard pretty much everything that there could be to hear and more.
Go ahead. I was interrupting you.
Okay, well, what I was going to say was, you know, I mean, this is just my story. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else. But what I wanted to do with my story here is people need to understand that there's more than just this book. There's endless libraries of subject matter that deal with sex addiction, but the problem that people are having with it and the problem that a lot of the media are putting it out there as, it really isn't what that is about. The sex addiction is a true addiction. Matter of fact, scientists and doctors are claiming right now that they know it's an addiction. And it's the worst kind because it's so secretive and damaging. It's life-threatening. People put themselves into situations that they normally wouldn't put themselves into. They'll hire prostitutes. They'll hire. They'll go to massage parlors. Any number of things, just to get the high that they get out of the endorphins that are built up through sexual activity.
Wow.
And so this is basically what I've learned through my 6 years that I've been in a recovery program. And I mean, it doesn't even begin to touch the surface. So there's guys that have been in this program over 20-some years, and they're just now starting to really push through and make things known. There's not very many people out there that are really geared to tell their story because of how bad they feel. And it's a very very close subject in a lot of ways, because you got to deal with the shame in all of it. Because I mean, there's some stupid stuff that I did. I mean, there's stupid stuff that everybody does, and it all comes out eventually, whether or not we want it to come out completely or not is up to us. But I found that the only way that I could ever truly appreciate my recovery was really to tell the truth. And once I did start telling the truth about it and actually seeking help and talking about it, it's minimal to the stuff that I'm able to do now. And that's really what I'm trying to push with this book.
Well, let me just mention to everyone that you have an opportunity to call anonymously if you would like to discuss your experience with sex and love addiction. And you can call our number here, 1-646-378-0442. Again, the number is 1-646-378-0442. Call us and tell us, you know, about your experience if you want to share, or if you have a question for Ryan Capital, the author of Bigger Than Me, An Untold Story of Sex and Love Addiction, go ahead and give us a call. But I wanted to find out, with all the things that you had mentioned, as far as doing things that could affect your life or your lifestyle, just for the opportunity to see or be around or have sex, at what point does a person say, you know, I really need to get help? Because we have had experiences where people have known employers who fired their employees for being on porn sites during work. And in my personal opinion, when it gets to the point where you have to watch porn at work, that sounds like you have an addiction.
Yeah, that's usually one of the final stages of the addiction. The addiction itself starts becoming more risky. you have to do more risky things, and it progresses over time. People, like I said, it's the light switch effect again. Most people don't start out with child pornography if they're looking at it and stuff like that, because there's a lot of it out there. It's a memory thing, because they've had some sort of trauma in their past, and it's not a good thing to just keep that hidden. But that's one of the reasons why sexual perpetration actually happens quite often, is because these people have actually been doing it longer than, and they just happen to get caught that time. And so when they find out about it, you find out that they have thousands and thousands of libraries of this stuff, and it makes it look even worse than what it is. Well, it's been collected over years and years of time. That they didn't start there. I mean, they didn't start with a certain type. It actually progresses. It gets worse because you're on it more, and your brain just doesn't know when to stop. And that's really what it is. I mean, the people talk about alcoholism, drug addiction, things like that. I mean, this is basically the same thing. Gambling. I mean, gambling is an addiction. There's no drugs involved in that. And this is one of the key things that scientists are now finding out, is that people are addicted to shopping and various other things, eating disorders.
It's like the act is the drug. The act of doing this, whatever it is the drug. That's what's getting you the high that you're seeking.
Well, it's the feeling of completion and the feeling that your stress levels are deteriorated for a short period. Just like if you were to get high or to smoke, to do some sort of drug, the ultimate idea is to basically remove the reality of life.
So basically, I mean, with all this being said, what exactly was that moment for you? What was that turning point? I mean, because evidently you've been doing this for a while. I mean, what made you just want to turn your life around?
Well, actually, it was a lot of things. God, first of all, had intervened tremendously in my life. It took a lot of courage for some people to really come to me and say, "Hey, you know, you need to look at this, and you need to stop." I actually walked in on one of my friends while she was taking a shower in an attempt to take a photo of her, and it scared the crap out of me because I didn't know why I was doing it. I just knew I had to do it.
Wow.
In my mind, it was playing out that way. Then shortly after that, my friends, they all just left me there, you know, just to kind of mellow in my own mug. But what really hit me hardest was I was having online affairs with multiple women. I was working nights for a cable company, and so I'd get home 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night, and I'd be on the internet until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, just looking at pornography and surfing the web, trying to get my next fix. Well, my wife was in the next room up, listening to me search for porn and stuff like that. Eventually, it led her to having seizures.
Wow. And
because of sleep deprivation. And God, it scared the heck out of me. I'm like, I'm killing my wife, you know? And it was just one of those things that you just can't look at life the same way after seeing that. And I knew that she'd had seizures before, but I mean, the first time I'd seen one was when I was online with one of my online girlfriends, and she's in the other room just convulsing. And it was just so horrible. And it scared me. And it made me realize that, you know, I'm not hurting just myself in all of this. I'm hurting my wife. I'm hurting other people, and not to mention the men and women that are posing for these sites are being manipulated too. I mean, they're sons and daughters of somebody, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that. And one of the key things is objectification of men and women in this disease, people are constantly putting people on a pedestal, and really they're making them out to be objects instead of people. And that's also another thing, is that the internet makes it easier for us to take people as objects instead of actual human beings. Same way. Go ahead.
When your wife was waiting up for you every night, did she, mm-hmm. up until the point where she had her seizure and you discovered her convulsing, did she ever complain prior to that?
Oh yeah, we always had fights. We'd always have fights, and I would just ignore her, close the door, lock it, and then go surf the porn. And that would be the way that I dealt with any hard situation. It got
now,
to the point where... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm saying with that situation, did you feel so that even though you had a sexual addiction, that you didn't feel like having sex with your wife, or it just was more so of a thrill to do it with a stranger?
Well, I wanted it no matter what. I didn't care who it was from. I mean, it got to that point where, I would have done it with just about anything if I had the chance. If there was a hot dog on the ground or something like that, I might do it. But that's the sickness. That's just the sickness of it. And there's no rhyme or reason behind it other than lack of affection, attention, something early on in our childhood, or basically that we're brought into sex in a negative way somewhere in our lives. Either we found it out through Penthouse Magazine, Playboy, or something like that because our friends brought it to school, or we found out through a close relative that molested us as a child. In any case, it's an unhealthy relationship that tends to start it.
Wow.
But there's so many things, though, that just aren't really even studied yet. That, I mean, this is just now coming out about a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about. There's even far more things that I haven't experienced that other people have experienced that just aren't willing to say anything about
it. Wow. Let's go ahead and take a call on line one. Someone has a question. You're all with Gaptooth Diva Radio. How can we help you?
Hi, Gaptooth. I love your show. I love you, period.
I just have a couple
of questions. I love the show. I'm just forgetting what I wanted to say. But question I have, I hear you talking about you with your wife. Can you answer a question? I just want to know, the sex addiction, is that just one gender, or do you have a sex addiction with male and female?
It's both males and females. There is a difference, though, in how males versus females actually act out their behaviors.
I have read on male and mm-hmm. female, but I'm asking you, your preference. Has it been
My preference has actually been female.
Just female.
Yes, it's just strictly been with females. Mostly because my brother molested me at a young age, really caused me to not want to be with a guy or anything like that, but also that my cousins were... majority were female that molested me after that.
There are cases of individuals who've had sex addiction that have been addicted to both genders, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and actually there's a lot of cases out there where straight men that are married and have families and stuff like that will have casual sex with other men and they don't think that there's anything wrong with it and they're not gay.
Yeah, I feel like we call them DL brothers, you know,
uh-huh.
DL men that don't
yep.
see nothing wrong with that. They was grown up to that, you know.
Yep.
I have read that. Another question I have you mm-hmm. ever, since you have a sex addiction, have you ever mm-hmm. faked the orgasm?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it gets to the point where it gets to the point where the sex no longer, well, it just no longer thrills you.
But I'm saying, if you're faking the orgasm, isn't that cheating yourself? Yeah, cheating my high. Like, if I'm a roll a blunt, or I'm a take cocaine, but I just don't sniff it, or I take a blunt and I just don't it. It's like cheating.
Yeah.
I'm a halfway do it.
Well, right, and really the addiction ends up becoming more of a thrill seeking type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the more dangerous that you can think of it as, the more you want to do worse things. Like I said, it's a progressive disease. I started off just looking at regular porn. I was afraid to go anything deeper. But then I started caring less about the world and just said, oh, what the heck. And then I started getting into bestiality porn and then into all sorts of varieties of garbage that's out there. I mean, if you have a fetish for it, it's out there. And unfortunately, it's a very serious problem that a lot of people aren't willing to come forward and face. One of the key things that I struggle with more recently was the invention of these websites now that are promoting and encouraging people to cheat on their wives.
They have pawns now. They have, the wife cheats on the husband while he's at work. People get a high for that, or vice versa.
Yep.
I know you have heard of that. Addiction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it's big business right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Gatsu Diva.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Okay, so with all the different types of porn that you used to watch, do you have children at home? Did you ever concern yourself with whether the kids were going to find it?
That's one of the things that makes it a risk in that other people did actually find it. Most people won't say anything, though, because it's a private issue. And so people don't really go searching around through your computer for porn, but my friends eventually caught on to the fact that I was into it too much, and they kind of confronted me and then parted their ways until I started seeking help. And even then, after they did all that, I still didn't even seek help. It took a lot of courage for me to say that I had a problem, and that only happened like 6 years ago, and I was addicted, at the age of 18, I was surfing the internet looking for porn and just mutilating myself, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that my life wasn't perfect, and a lot of it has to deal with the idea that we have to have this perfect life. And when we struggle with that, we want to look. We're curious beings in the first place, and we want to look for the best things in our lives. And so, I mean, what better place to do it than the internet? Because everybody's out there on the world wide web, and initially, people just are curious. Matter of fact, one of the statistics that I thought was really scary was they did a study in a university in California that said that over 85% of their students were having internet sex through chat rooms and IM accounts. Over 85% of their students were doing that. And those sites were actually to the point where they were the reason for all the porn that's out there. People were the producers of these porn sites and stuff like that were using these college students to produce their porn. And
I've seen sites like that they would have porn coming from the college dorms. You could see free movies, college dorms.
That's great. And these students wouldn't get paid for it, but they would be posting it out there because they agreed to live at that place. And so it became a legal form of pornography and voyeurism, and there's a lot of that out there. And even still, there's even worst things that are out there, if you can believe that. There's sex trafficking, prostitution rings that are hugely promoted. I know for a long time there, it's not up now, but Craigslist was huge for prostitution. It actually promoted it openly through its site, and then they took it down. But now there's other sites that are now doing that, and they're freely just advertising it, and people can go to these sites, and they aren't willing to take it down. And I mean, it's just one of those things that is so freely open to anybody, and it can be so secretive because it's in your own home behind locked doors. Nobody can watch you doing it.
No, I was just saying, basically, with all that being said, I mean, it's everywhere. You see it on advertisements, you see it on billboards, you see it on TV. What do you do to cope with it, to keep from backtracking?
Well, there's a lot of things that you have to do. I mean, first of all, you got to be willing to change. And sometimes it takes an act of other people involved in your life, changing who your friends are a lot of times too. Because, I mean, if there's one addict in the entire scheme of friends in a circle, usually there's two or three. They kind of got each other's backs in a way. It's kind of the buddy system of how people network together, just like drinking buddies. You know, I mean, you don't want to go back, if you're an alcoholic, you don't want to go back to your other friends because they're still drinking. And you can't be around that stuff anymore. So you have to change your environment. The other thing that you want to do, especially for people that are addicted to the internet porn, because it's so easily available, it's free in most cases, most people don't ever pay for it, is to get some sort of blocking software for the pornography. The web browsers have a little bit of a content blocker built into them. They're either too excessive or not excessive enough. There's a couple different ones out there. I've used. There's XXXChurch.com uses K9. Blocker for pornography. There's also sites out there that hold you accountable through an accountability partner that actually emails the person whenever you go to a pornographic website.
Okay.
So they know. It basically tells on you.
Now I want you to kind of explain to us for all those listeners out there who kind of somewhat acknowledge that they have a problem and they're interested in seeking help, what would one do to pursue recovering from such an addiction?
Well, the first thing is that they got to admit, I mean, to somebody that they have a problem and to get help. I encourage anybody that is wanting to get help, don't do it on your own because of the fact that it's such a self-made addiction. You can't break it on your own. That's the whole problem. It's very self-sufficient. It's very secretive, and nobody's going to know that you have the addiction unless they catch you with a terabyte of hard drive space full of porn. In that case, you might be up for some other stuff, but when it gets to the point where you're getting arrested, it's far too late. Usually, I mean, not to say that you can't recover from that, because, matter of fact, our group's leader here in Des Moines was arrested, and he ended up getting help. But, I mean, a lot of people never get caught and don't intend to get caught either. And so you got to deal with it. They got to deal with it on their own terms. I think the biggest thing that you can do is if you're trying to get help, like I said again, best thing to do is to seek it. I mean, just go out, find somebody, go to a church, go to a synagogue, just basically a place where you can confess whatever it is that you need to go to. And then the next thing is to look up a counselor or one of these 12-step groups that are dedicated to sex addiction, love addiction. There's multiple versions of this of the same groups. And these people have seen and heard it all. They're great groups. None of them are counselors, per se. Some of them might be, but the majority of the people are just average Joe Blows that have worked the steps and are continuing to get better.
Okay. Now, when you decided that you want to recover from this and decided that you were going to put it in a book, were you trying to educate people about this? And if so, have you had any backlash from putting this book out?
Oh, I get all kinds of backlash. People, like I say, people don't like this addiction. They think that it's a, they think it's a lie. They think that it's an excuse for people to cheat. They think it's all sorts of things. One of the things is that it is an excuse for people to cheat in some senses. Some people can use it for that, but there's other people out there that are truly hurting. Well, I don't know. I think Tiger Woods really does have a problem. He's cheating. Well, I think that here's my theory on Tiger Woods, and I'm not trying to say that this is actual truth. I mean, the kid, the guy, when he was three, could putt. I mean, he could play golf. I mean, I don't know of any other kid in the world that could do that. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on children. I mean, when children get pushed into a lot of pressure, I mean, you look at Hollywood. I mean, they're constantly being bombarded with divorce, sex addiction, and all this other garbage. The reason is because of the pressure in the stereotypes that are pushed out at them. And I think that's you can really see it there. And that's where a lot of people are now starting to realize that, hey, this is a problem. You know, we got a real big deal here that we need to fix. And I applaud Tiger for actually going to seek help. Matter of fact, we do use a lot of Patrick Carnes's books in our recovery program. I encourage anybody that's looking more in depth to read that. But if you really just want to look and see what an addict goes through, I mean, definitely that's the reason I chose to publish the book. Again, like I said, it was originally a journal of my past, and in the sense of the 12-step program, it was me basically taking my first step, and I wanted to share it with other people because there's a lot of people that are scared to really come forward with all the garbage, all the muck that's been haunting them their entire lives. To me, it was a way to relieve depression, to relieve stress, and to really get rid of all the gunk that I had in my past so I could move on. My pastor, actually, that I... I was addicted to her, in a sense. God actually used that person to encourage me to seek recovery even further, and she really helped me to, put it into a book form. And she said, wow, this is really good. You need to share this with people. And so I said, I guess I'll do it.
Now, I don't think that a lot of people understand what you mean when you're referring to sex and love addiction. And I think a lot of people don't want to talk about it. It's because they don't realize that, you know, they or someone they know might be suffering from it. And I know in your particular circumstance, it was an obvious addiction because you were staying up late, you know, looking at porn and, you know, what sounds like negligence and stuff like that, just to have sex or to have these affairs and stuff. That's noticeable. That's a noticeable addiction, I think. But for those people who cheat on their girlfriends all the time, they can't help it. Every single relationship, they're constantly cheating and sleeping with all these different people. And, you know, they can't help but meet people at the club or at parties and take them home and have frequent one-night stands for not weeks and months, but years. Those people could be suffering from sex addiction too, correct?
Oh, definitely. Matter of fact, that's the most common one you see is these young men and women that go to clubs all the time looking to score with another person.
But they don't classify it as an addiction, though. I mean, some people might just classify it as being a player or, you know, that you're just, you know, bagging girls and putting notches on your belt, whatever you want to call it. But it could possibly be an addiction. Some females might also have this issue as well, where they constantly feel the need to have sex with men to validate their beauty or their self-worth.
Right, and that's really where the addiction comes from, though, is the self-worth thing. People find themselves to be inferior except for when they're good at something, and a lot of times that ends up being a negative aspect of things. And with the sex addiction, just like you said, it is a prestige, so to speak, for themselves or for their buddy system to say, hey, I knocked that person up, or I got it on with that person. You know, it is a status symbol that men and women both put on some form of performance to really just make themselves look good. And it doesn't
I wonder in certain communities whether or not this these services and resources to help these individuals are available. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't hear a lot about, you know, 7 or 12-step programs for sex addicts. I don't hear about groups and stuff. And I try to keep myself privy to information, not in regards to sex, but anything that I can offer somebody, because I notice things. I've met people who would meet you for the first time, and all of a sudden, I've seen your private parts within a couple of days. You know what I mean? And that's weird. That's weird. I mean, no, seriously. And it makes you wonder, do you have a problem? Because you don't even know me. Why would you be showing me that type of stuff? So you wonder if they even realize that they have the type of addiction, and if there's someone that you can point them to. Do you know of any national databases or systems where people can go and talk to someone about this?
Well, I think that there's multiple areas that you can call. There's sex help hotlines. There's depression type hotlines specifically dedicated to people that are thinking about going out and hiring prostitutes, things like that, and they can talk to somebody and not waste their time. You know, it's there's self-help books on sex addiction. There's websites dedicated to it. There's even chat rooms dedicated to talking about sex addiction and basically getting past that little area where you might have a 20-minute period where you feel like you're tempted to act out in some way, shape, or form. But again, the biggest thing is to seek help with somebody else. In my opinion, that's the only thing that's ever worked in all that I've done. Most people won't find the help themselves because it's too personal, and they don't want to say anything about it. Again, that's the reason that I wrote my book, is to share my story in hopes that other people in reading it can say, "Hey, this is me," or can say, "Hey, you know, I know somebody that's similar to this." And
now,
actually,
I think people reading your book would definitely find inspiration in hearing your story. But let me ask you something. I want an honest answer as possible as you can. As a recovering sex addict now, and being in this day and age where sex is selling more than religion half the time, and, you know, being surrounded by an industry that has made some diehard Christians backslide, do you sometimes find it hard on some days to keep going on your journey. I mean, sex is everywhere. You can go down the interstate and see sex on the billboard. Or, I mean, like, cartoons have sexual references sometimes. It's crazy. Innuendos, So it's like being in this day and age, I'm assuming it's hard. It's not like with drugs, but you just stay away from drug addicts or people who do drugs or, you know, alcohol. You just stay out of bars and stuff. You know, even music sometimes references sex. I mean, how do you deal?
Well, there isn't a real set in stone thing. Matter of fact, in a lot of these programs, sex is encouraged with a significant other in that relationship, and you're not supposed to be going out and mutilating yourself. But sex is something that we as humans have to do at some point. Not to say that it always has to be there. But it's something that if you're finding yourself looking at porn for 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'm hoping that's your job. But if it's not your job, then you might have a problem there. the thing in a nutshell is to call it an addiction, and to say that that there is definitely a problem there. People need to really understand two different things. One is their morality. Would they want their parents to see them doing it, first of all? And then secondly, if they are a believer of some sort in any religion, would they want their leadership, their pastor, their rabbi, their high priest, whatever, to see them in that position? And and a lot of people, most people will say, no way, I ain't gonna share this. I'm gonna go Sunday church, and Monday morning I'm gonna go back to partying. Those are the people that are out there. I mean, they're Sunday Christians. Monday they're back into the bars and doing the swing of things. And to those people, they need to really be curious. They really need to focus on, is this something that is going to damage me down the road? Because there's multiple consequences to having a sex addiction. First of all, you're going to be put out there on the internet by somebody eventually.
Contracting a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, and the scary thing is that there's new sexually transmitted diseases coming out all the time. And most people aren't aware of that. I mean, people are like, oh, well, AIDS. Wow, okay, that's big.
Well, that's the
but
only thing
I'm never
going to
get that. Yeah, I'll just wear a condom, or I'll just have, I'll practice safe sex, you know. And I read a statistic on safe sex, and, like, condoms only protect for... they fail like 14% of the time, and it's like, wow, that's insane. And especially when you're dealing with your life. Because I've met people that have gone through and have contracted AIDS, and their lives completely changed because they could no longer do a lot of the stuff that they were able to do before. That's one of the risks, and people need to understand that too.
I want to thank you so much, Ryan Capital, for coming on and promoting your book and just promoting yourself. I really think that a lot of individuals who may not have even considered the possibility that they may be suffering from sex and love addiction could be inspired by what you're doing. How can everyone get in contact with you? And most importantly, if they were interested in purchasing the book, how can they find it?
Those are good questions. The best way to get my book is either to go to my publisher's website. I'm not sure if you have that posted on your blog or not, but if they don't, it's trafford.com, TRAFFORD.com, and either they can look up my name or look up Bigger Than Me. It should be posted all over the place there. And it's a print-on-demand service right now. However, you can order it through Barnes & Noble, Borders, any of those places can actually order it for you. However, they don't directly have it in stock. So it, in any case right now, as it stands, it is on an on-demand basis. So
okay.
Hopefully
and,
people will be able to get it through the publisher. So.
Okay, and it's also available on Amazon, correct?
Amazon, any of those internet-based bookselling sites, my publisher actually goes through Ingram, who actually supplies to everybody that's out there pretty much. And so Google, Amazon.com, Buy.com, any of those sites that you can go online and order a book through. It's also an ebook format, so those folks that are out there with Vinook or any other style of ebook can actually download it as well. And it's a little bit cheaper too. So.
And do you have any upcoming events or projects that you're currently working on?
I'm actually, on the back of my book, it says I'm working on a second book. I'm actually in the first part of my writing of that one. It's more about what I struggled with and what I still struggle with in recovery. Just to kind of make people aware that this is a disease that doesn't just go away. It's something that we have to fight every single day in its entirety. It's something that you never really get rid of. It's just something that you have to learn to live with and really just talk about your life with other people and sharing. So.
Well, and are you still married?
What's that? Yes. I'm actually still married after all this, after all the stuff that I've been through. My wife has actually been my biggest supporter. She's been the one that had actually helped carry me through everything.
Well, you're blessed to have someone that will stick by you through such a trying time in your life, and I'm sure that you recovering is just a blessing for her as it is for you. So. I wish you nothing but success in this journey that you're taking. And like I said, I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing your story with everyone.
Thank you guys for having me. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'll let you go. I know we had you on for quite some time. But I will keep in touch because I would love to have you back on in the future.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. And just real quick, I did forget to mention I am on Facebook. I haven't been putting myself out on Twitter or any of the other stuff, but you can look me up. Just look for Ryan Capital. I do have a website out there. So anybody that has any questions for me for your show, definitely get a hold of me at that site. Or if you want to email me any questions, my email address is biggerthanmebook@yahoo.com. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that any of your listeners have.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate being on here. Thank you very much, Vita.
Have a good night.
Yep, you too.
Bye. Okay, so that was Ryan Capital, the author of Bigger Than Me, An Untold Story of Sex and Love Addiction. And like you said, if you're interested in getting more information from him, he's on Facebook under Ryan Capital. Phenomenal story. I mean, to be addicted to sex from kindergarten, I mean, it's just, and like you said, you know, a lot of people go through a lot of things in their lives that they don't want to talk about. And for some reason, people shy away from speaking about the real, which drives me insane because although some situations may be traumatic and personal, you have no idea how much inspiration you could provide to someone just by saying, I went through this, and this is how I got through. Everybody has a testimony, and I just don't think that testimony should be only solicited at church. I think that outside of church, you should be able to say, this is what happened to me, and you can learn from my experience. And Ryan Capital took that, and he utilized that and put it in the book. So for all of you who may be suffering from sex addiction or have suffered from sex addiction or love addiction and have embarked on pursuing your recovery, I really suggest that you put your testimony into book form and someone may be able to read that and be inspired by it, and you can help two or three at the most get out of the situation. And I really think that all of you people who have the need to want to sleep with every person that you meet or want to have sex with different people every night, and you're not finding any love, you're not finding any acceptance, you might consider the fact that you may or may not be suffering from sex addiction. And it's a dangerous, dangerous disease that can cause sexually transmitted diseases, unwanted babies, a lot of drama in your relationship, and ultimately a demise in your existence because you're constantly dealing with negativity when you're having sex with all these different people. You know, being an aggressive lover, there's nothing wrong with that, but you need to start determining whether or not there's substance coming from these relationships or whether you're just having sex just to fulfill a physical thing and it's not to pursue anything further. I had a great time with you guys this evening. I hope you really gained something from Ryan Capital. Again, you can get in touch with him on Facebook or Bigger Than Me Book on his website, I mean his email. We have upcoming events coming up. Like I said, the event at Posh, the MLK Signature Black and White Affair, going down January 15th, 1713 East Main Street. Tickets are on sale for $10. If you're interested in buying tickets or you're interested in VIP bottle service, email dwemg1@gmail.com. This is brought to you by D&W Entertainment, X4 Digital Media, High IQ3 Foundation, Natasha B 1980, and RichmondSpotlight.com. Natasha B 1980 is also selling tickets, so you can contact her on Twitter or Facebook to get your tickets for $10 because they will be going up at the door. Also, the Exposure Voices, a community human trafficking awareness event going down in partnership with Mount Gilead Full Gospel International Ministries, will be on Saturday, January the 15th as well at 10 a.m. It's open to the public. It's free, but you do have to register for this event, and you can go to www.mainstreetspa.com to find out how to do that. It's no cost to you. Very, very good event, and it's basically for relaxation for the cause, an event thrown by Main Street Spa, which is located at 501 East Main Street, Suite A, Richmond, Virginia, 23219. The Relaxation for the Cause campaign presents a charge to business associates to make a commitment to spend 27 minutes or more of their time to expose the injustice of human trafficking, from talking about it to clients and business associates, to displaying literature, praying for the victims, forming an event, or whatever creative event that you want to do. But they make all individuals take charge and accept the differences in each other. And this is brought to you by Main Street Spa and the Wellness Center. It's free. So, again, it is at the Mount Gilead Full Gospel Ministries at 2501 Mount Gilead Boulevard in Richmond, Virginia. And it's happening now. If you don't know anything about human trafficking, I really suggest that you do your research, because right now it is the second largest criminal industry in the world. And right now it's a lot of injustice that is occurring because of human trafficking. And if you think about human trafficking, you think about foreign countries. No, it's happening right here in our community, right in our backyard. And you need to make yourself aware, educate yourselves on that. So that's going down on January 15th. GapsToDiva.com and GapsToDiva Radio is taking a trip to New York this weekend. I will be hosting the Zonsphere.com ZTV video countdown. I am their new VJ, so I'm going to New York to shoot my first video countdown segment, my first episode ever. So I can't wait. I'll be sending you the links over the weekend so you guys can watch the video countdown, the countdown, your favorite underground videos from Zonsphere.com. And I'm so excited. You have no idea.
Yeah.
But I will be doing that. Also, check out my post on zonsphere.com this Saturday. I got an interesting post in regards to letting jerks and a-holes get away with calling you shorty and asking you what your name is.
Wow.
I can't take it anymore.
That's crazy.
So, guys, check that out. It's going to be on zonsphere.com Saturday. I will be on that website. And it also features my shows as well. So if you want to listen to past shows, you can go there. You can go to www.gap2thieves.com. We will also be at the I Shop for Joy Gospel Denim and Ice event going down. The Stellar Stellar Award show going down this Sunday. And I don't have the address on me right now, so I'm unprepared. But I just want to shout them out because they're wonderful. So shout out to Jenna Joy and Marisa Dahl. We'll be at the Gentleman Ice event. If you want more information on my Facebook wall, I've already said I was going to that event. So follow me on Facebook and also follow me on Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, my phone is dead. We had a funeral. We had a funeral the other day, so it's dead. I'm back to the old instinct until next week when the insurance people decide to send me my phone. So if you are calling me or texting me and I'm not returning your calls, please don't be upset. Charge it to my pockets, not my mind or my heart. I apologize. But, again, I appreciate you all for listening. All this talking is making me lose my voice, and I need to be quiet because I got to get ready for this weekend. So, as always, I appreciate you for listening. Go to my website, www.gap2diva.com. Follow me and subscribe. Have a good weekend. Be safe. And thank you for listening to our 50th episode of Gap 2 Diva Radio. As always, I love you.
I'm a diva. 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 I'm a